Parshas Toldos. Ve'ilu Toldos Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram Hilis Yitzchak. These are the Toldos of Yitzchak, son of Avram. Avram Hilis Yitzchak. Ve'ilu Toldos Yitzchak. Yaakov Esav Amur Beparsha. Get to that in a second, maybe what Rashi's saying. Avram Hilis Yitzchak. So he says, Aidei Shekosav HaKosav Yitzchak ben Avram, since the Pasuk said, that Yitzchak is the son of Avram, Hoskach Loimari needed to say, Avram Hilis Yitzchak, he needed to say that Avram is the one who had Yitzchak. Why? Fi Shayulitzon Adar Oimrim, the scoffers, the people who make jokes in the nation would say, Mavi Melchim Sabra Sara, that really Yitzchak was from Avimelech. Why? Because many years she stayed with Avram and she didn't get pregnant. All of a sudden with Avimelech. Ma Asa Gosh Baruch Hu, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Tzar Klas Teponu Shel Yitzchak Doim Avram. The Yitzchak looks like Avram. Ve'idu HaKal Avram HaHiles Yitzchak. Mela, everyone's able to say after that, Nein Avram HaHiles Yitzchak. V'zeo Shekos Av Kan Yitzchak Ben Avram HaHiles Yitzchak. Eidos Yesh Shavram HaHiles Yitzchak. So the question is that why is this, what is their scoffing, what is their leitzonis that they're exactly saying? Seemingly it's true. So many years she's with Avram, nothing happens, all of a sudden she has this ma'isa with Avimelech, and then not too long after that she's expecting and has Yitzchak. Why is it such a laughing matter? Maybe they're saying the truth. I mean, obviously not really, but in other words, how do we know it's a joke? How is it, why is it called that they're the jokers? So, one answer is that the Iker Nes was with Sarah, because Avram already was able to have a kid. We see Avram at 86 had Yishmael with Hagar. And therefore, there's no more reason to say that it's from Avimelech than Sarah. No, I'm sorry, that it's from Avimelech than Avram. Bishlam, if there's a reason to say it's from Avimelech, fine, so that's a legitimate thing. Like, and that's really what the question was, what's so bad about it? But there's no it wasn't Avram's fault. All of it, why did Sarah become Roy all of a sudden? I have no idea why. But there wasn't a problem with Avram. And therefore, that's why it's a laughing matter to say such a thing. You're saying a foolish thing. Obviously, the fact is that now Sarah had an ace. Why do you have any more proof that it's Avimelech than Avram? So therefore, to move it from Avram to Avimelech, that's silly. That's one answer. The Beskarov says, a very big fundamental yisoid in life, that they are scoffers and making jokes because, why are they doing it? Because it's easier. The premise of the question is basically, what's the difference? How do they know to say it's from Avimelech more than Avram? In other words, and what's the point of doing so? It's easy in life to say, supernatural, nace, miracle, right? Look at Eretz Yisrael as it went through its wars in the last 50 years of the times that they won. I don't know which wars were which, 67, 73, whatever, when they won and they were going out banana. Everyone's becoming Baal Tshuva right and left. And how long did those actually stick? And especially you see the next war, all of a sudden Hashem wasn't mentioned when they lost it. It was like, oh, what's going on now? There it is, because it didn't really work. What's going on? Why is it easy to read the newspaper? Because things that are not mechayiv, things that don't obligate us to change our way of life, is a lot more comfortable for us to believe that than to believe that it happened to someone that obligates us. If something happens to our father who's been telling us to do something another way, or to our Rav, or a Gadol goes through a certain thing who we're close to and we can relate to what happened to them and what they went through, if we admit that happened to them, then we are in essence saying, oh, we got to be doing like their way, and that's how that miracle happened. So therefore, to say, true, it would have been an ace either way. Side to say it's from Avram, side to say it's from Avimelech. But you know what? If it's from Avram, then it means, wow, a 100-year-old guy had a kid from this 90-year-old lady. Admitting to that means that you're really sort of subscribing to that way of life. That's bothersome. That's bothersome to people. It's a lot easier to just put it as a newspaper story and say, oh, it's from Avimelech, nice story. Wow, that made me feel good for today or even for the week or the month. But I'm put it in the Guinness Book of World Records and let it sit on the bookshelf. You have a similar thing by Lech Lecha, by the four kings and the five kings, that there were those who still did not believe that Avram with the Kivshon Eish, did he get saved exactly? You probably have like deniers of the Holocaust or whatever. So you had Avram, did he really get out of the Kivshon Eish? Well, what really was it? And it just, miracle, newspaper story. When did they eventually believe? When Avram was coming back from the war with the four kings of the five kings, Melch Sedoim had fallen into a quicksand pit. It's possible that the Melch of Amor ended up dying because you don't see him afterwards from getting out of the quicksand pit. So the Melch Sedoim fell in and he couldn't get out. And I mean, you can imagine it was probably however many hours it was, but many, many hours. It's probably kept in that dangerous situation on purpose. And then when all of a sudden Avram walks back and passes and Melch Sedoim is able to come out. So everyone saw clearly that now Avram is legitimate. It's not just newspaper miracles. It's actually real miracles that happened because of his way of life. Now they retroactively agreed also that, okay, he came out of the Kivshon Eish, we might sort of have to start subscribing to his way of life or live with this uncomfortability, which most people can't exactly do. So that's why they're late sonim. Again, the premise of the question, why should you say it's more from Avi Melech than from Avram? The question is to make yourself feel good. It's much easier and better, says Brisker Rav, to say it's from Avi Melech. But of course, we know that it's from Avram, and it would have been mechayev them had they been maskim to that. Rashi in Vayera says that what he says gives another answer to this. He says that Avimelech sends away Sarah and says, I'm giving you mama, I'm giving you money and clothes, and this will be a proof that I didn't touch you. If the king is specifically saying straight out, he's making a thing that I didn't touch you, didn't have anything to do with you, then obviously there's no way to become pregnant from him, and therefore it's pure scoffing, it's pure jokester to go ahead and say such a thing, and again, that is why it's a joke.
Plus,
fake news, exactly. Now, when did this happen, right? We read the Rashi before, that people were making jokes, and Ma'asa Hashem cluster Parav Shal Yitzchak to made his face look like Avram. When did this happen? So the Medrash Tanchuma says that this happened during the pregnancy. They see Sarah's pregnant. That makes sense that it's like right away afterwards. And Hashem said to the Malach that's Memune on taking care of the Vlad, make him like Avram. And so to the Zipporna says, many others say, okay, that's plausible, that's understandable. The Gemara Bava Metzia says, Avram made a Suda on the day that Yitzchak turned two when he became weaned. And they were all Meraninin that it's not for Avram. Right then, says the Gemara, Yitzchak's face turned to look like Avram. So they'll say he's from Avram, right? He's 2 years old, and this is what happened. The Marsha seems to play on to the fact that there's this machlekes between the Medrash and the Gemara. Medrash seems to say it was even before he was born. The Gemara seems to say now he's 2 years old. The Ivdan B'Shem the Divrei Yoel, I guess that's the son of Rebbe, right? That he says that it could be the Medrash is talking about, I'm not exactly familiar with these terms, Shetute Panim, in other words, maybe the shape of the face, and that was enough for Avram himself, when Yitzchak was born, to know that it's for sure from him. But still, everyone else was like, okay, who knows? Or maybe it wasn't so recognizable, the exact shape to look clearly, and therefore, the entire face then changed at the 2 years old. So, Satmar Rebbe, the Rio is trying to work out how you have two different things over here going on, but really both of them are true. That's what he's trying to say. The Taz asks, what exactly is this Eidus that he looks like Avram? Why is that going to help to say that he's really from Avram? Well, here we know, the Gemara says that Aisha, when she's being Mizana, is scared of her husband. Therefore, she's thinking about her husband. If she's thinking about her husband, then of course the kid's going to look like her husband. So what's the whole proof that Yitzchak looks like Avram? She's being Mizana, again, according to the scoffers, she's being Mizana with Avimelech, but of course she's scared of Avram now, so she's thinking about Avram. So what is the whole proof in the first place? Azei Frek the Taz, he says from the Bach, that Hagufa, there nothing happened, the face change didn't happen, or he didn't look like him until he was 2 years old. That's why it's a riot. You have a kid sitting there that looks like I have no idea who or what. And then all of a sudden, by 2 years old, the face becomes like Avram. So obviously, then that has nothing to do with that it was from Avimelech, but she was thinking of Avram. So again, that's goofy why it waited 2 years. It didn't happen right away. It waited 2 years to happen so that he would have a different look, and then it would change it to say, must be a miracle that Hashem changed it to make it look like Avram because it's from Avram.
There's certain characteristics you get from the mother, certain things you get from the father.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll go for the whatever she's thinking. So those characteristics are changing, maybe, but not necessarily the males. Gemara says the eye, the cold.
Right.
From the male.
Right.
The things you get from the female. Right. So maybe her character situates where it's not, but not enough kids.
I hear. Yeah.
She can't.
Right. It's no problem. Right, exactly. It's no problem. Yeah, I hear. You could also say stop as another teretz. I think he's saying this that we know Haran was Avram's brother, and Haran is the father of Sarah. So it wouldn't have been such a proof right away you wouldn't have said that Sarah's being Mizan, and that's why it looks like him, because it looks like Sarah, because she has those lookable genes also. Sarah is Avram's niece, so that wouldn't be a proof anyway. So therefore, when it happens later, then that is what's called, then it's a proof it's from Avram. The Tais Shalom is coming to answer the Taz's question. What? I think it could still be that was the Taz himself. The Tais Shalom is coming to answer the Taz's question and say, as I was saying the question, we made sure to stress that Sarah would be scared while she's doing it with Avimelech. Sarah's not going to be scared when she's doing it with Avimelech. You know why? Who put her, besides the Inus, who put her in that matziv? Her husband. So the whole thing of coming into play of always, oh, she's scared of her husband now because she's being secluded. What?
Why did he do it? Why is it his fault?
Of care, fault to fault or not, but he said, Achesihi, right?
Because he moved there?
Whatever it is, Avram made up that everywhere. I think the Mefarshim Samos I read in Lachla that everywhere they go, this is what happened. The punkto we only mentioned by Mitzrayim and by the Plishtim. I'm saying so. It was Avram. It's Avram. Avram's in charge and doing that. So now Sarah has no reason to think about it. So that's why this that it looked like Yitzchak would be a proof, and like Avram would be a proof, and therefore you could even say the Medrash that it happened right away from birth. And this that it looks like Avram is a proof because she wouldn't have thought about him if there would have been a Znos. The Al-Sheikh answers very interesting, and so too the Trumas Hadeshin, both early Rishonim, that it didn't happen until he was 60. Right here, at the beginning of the sixth parasha, that it says that Yitzchak was 60 years old when he had it. Why? Because Yitzchak was the Klar Gadol Adar, right? All the Avos, even the Shvatim, it says they were all known for their strength and everything far and wide and everywhere. So Yitzchak was the clear Gadol Adar, and everyone feared him and revered him like they should. Now he has an Esav. They said, if Yitzchak has an Esav, he must not be such a tzaddik. Must be from Avimelech. But Lamai said, this is the Leitzanus. Because if he really came from Avimelech, then how would a tzaddik like Yaakov have come from such a Zayda like Avimelech? So that's Leitzanus. That comes back to say about the Leitzanus. But I'll kopon him when people were making trouble. So that's why right now when he's 60, he came. The change happened. And maybe, this is what we said. Let's go. We said, what's trying the first Rashi?
They're remembering 60 years ago?
What do you mean?
Everyone talking about now, what happened 60 years ago?
I mean, they lived 180 years, right? It would be like when someone's 30, right? It would be like right now remembering, oh, by Moshe Feinstein's Levaya, where were you? That's so schwer to remember when the Gadol Adar had a kid.
60 years before?
What?
Not sure about 60.
No, I'm saying, I'm trying to be mash for the years. Right, 60 out of 180, right? It's only a third of the life, right? By then, back then, is how long they lived. So shver, so after a third of your life. I'm saying. So that's the first Rashi says, El Todis Yitzchak, Yaakov Esav Amor B'Parsha. Yaakov and Esav Hor said in the Parsha. What's Rashi saying? So, Lefi this, it's possible that it's trying to say that the Litzonim were saying that certain is what Kate became pregnant from Avimelech, they call Litzonim because Lishitasam, how could it be from Avimelech? Because you have Yaakov coming out of Yitzhak. Maybe that's what it's saying. Chassam Sefer says that since we know someone who davens for his friend gets answered first, so they said, what happened over here is that Avimelech was sick, Avram had to daven. So therefore, really, they didn't actually say these words, but their kavana for MS, to not be scoffing, their kavana, well, leave that for a second, but they weren't lying, Akapana, when they were saying it. Why? Because their kavana was, Avimelech caused the birth of Yitzchak to come about. Why? Because since Avram davened for Avimelech, that's why he got answered to have a kid, right? That's what everyone says. So therefore, you see, Avimelech came into play and had a shaychus over here, and that's what they were really, really, that was true. But they said it in a way, they said the words Me'avi Melech and Sabra Sara that could have had the mashmais either way. In other words, if you try to slap them on the face, what are you saying? You guys are lying. We're not lying. What do you mean? Avi Melech caused the birth to happen. But they'd keep chanting as you walk away, Me'avi Melech and Sabra Sara, Me'avi Melech and Sabra Sara. Because technically, they're trying to also get that funny mashmais in there as if there was some funny story with Avimelech Hatzar, as if maybe Taka something happened. But again, they're not really saying it. This is going to Shmuz. Go back to Parshas Vayera of what's it called? Being Mishana Pnei Hashalom. This is one of the possibilities that if you say something that has too much mashmais in it, that it's not really Sheker. And we'll talk about it more in Parshas Vayechi. It comes up again. Anyways, fine. It says that they Yitzchak daven l'noichach ishte, facing his wife. Rashi says ze oim b'zav zum espal, ze oim b'zav zum espal. Each one standing in each corner. What's the significance? The Tazal Torah says that they were standing on opposite corners of the room, just like the mizbeach, because davening is like a karbon, and most of the karbonos we know that you put the sprinkle of the blood on the opposite corners of the mizbeach, so it ends up on, quote unquote, all four sides. So that's what their tefillah was doing, and that's how it was. Miskabel, similar thing. It says, Vayisroi tzu abana bekirba, they were kicking inside of her. Right? Rashi brings the famous Chazal, when she went by Pesach of Torah, Yaakov tried to get out, Pesach of Eidazar, then Esav tried to get out. The Marsha asks in Sanhedrin, the Gemara says that Antoninus asks Rebbe, when does the Yitzhar come into a person? And the Gemara comes out when the kid is born. Over here, you see Esav trying to run away already. I say, Frek the Marsha. So what's happening? How's the Yitzhar there? So some Taka say that he's there, just he doesn't usually start up his game, bag of tricks until the kid comes out, but for some reason Asa was different and the Yitzhar started playing around already. Now why don't we ask Fakir? Why don't we ask? We know that Yitzhar Toiv only comes when a kid's bar mitzvah. So how's it possible Yaakov sitting running to Torah already? So there's a Piskei Tosfos at the end of the third parak of Nedarim, which says that a Yitzhara is really there inside. I'm sorry, the Yitzhar Toiv is really there inside. I guess maybe that's how you learn all the Torah with the Malach. Then the Yitzhara comes and throws him out until the kid's 13, and then Yitzhar Toiv comes back. So that's how that could work. Agav, someone asked me today, throw it to the Olam. Someone asked me today, we know that Rashi saying that Esav wanted to run, but there's another Rashi that says that until they were 13, you couldn't tell the difference between Yaakov and Esav. Seemingly, that means they both went to cheder, they both went to shul, they both did the mitzvahs, they both slept in the sukkah. So what exactly happened over here? Someone asked me today. I said I'm not. First of all, someone else said off the cuff, maybe Esav was good at masking it for those 13 years. Okay, maybe. I thought, I don't know exactly how to coin it, so I might be wording it a little bit funny, but that pshat is, right, we know generally what happens by us, we learn the Torah in the womb. Why? So they all say either that the way everyone says it is so that by the time you learn everything in your life, so it's really the second time you're learning it, makes it more familiar, but it could be that the way you could say it is that what's happening in the womb is really only the neshama's there. It's all about ruchni. So really, what's happening for the life ahead is already happening now. I don't mean that it's necessarily like an index for life, but in other words, the ruchni's life can happen now. Once it comes down out into this world, then it has to go through the stages, slowly growing up, crawling around as a baby, whatever, and getting bigger and bigger until he eventually gets to back to that stage of where it was really holding. So maybe also Esav, Batsim is a bad guy. So that's what's inside him. So what's going on in the Rechem is his bad guyness is coming out. Now he comes into a little baby. He can't be bad right away. So he's going to go along with, not the masking, but it's going to happen as it goes. Then eventually when it gets his das, hey, what do I want to do in life? Oh, you know what? My inner soul is telling me that I want to go be bad. And therefore, ran to bed. Okay. Very face. I don't know. Anyways, there's a very interesting Reb Shamshal for a Hirsch that says, whatever this means, Esav ended up in the wrong yeshiva, and perhaps if he would have been sent and dealt with the correct way, then he would not have gone off as he would have gone off. So it's a very, very big lesson that, of course, we all have to look at. We have to look at ourselves like we could be like Moshe, like the Rambam says, and the Ramah paskins l'halacha that one should not nurse their kid from a Gaisha lady, even though possibly it's mutter, because Asul Dabra Mashkina like Maisha. What? Which of us are going up to Har Sinai? Elam I see from the Ramah that every parent has an obligation to their kid to raise him and have hopes for him that he's going to shoot for the stars. So therefore, obviously one has to know what to do, but keep in mind the correct things. On that note, is very interesting. Let's skip a little bit because I don't know if we'll get back to it. I have down, what happened with Yitzhak? What happened with Yitzhak and Esav? Did he not know? Just because he was blind, he didn't know? What's going on over here? So the Shachal Torah says that Avada, he knew every single thing about Esav, but he was trying to be makar of him and give him all the brachas in order so that he would go on the, hopefully, God come back to the right Mahalach life. The Magid Miplotsk, who is a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, asks these questions on Yitzhak, and he says that from here you see a very, very big insight in how to raise kids and learn from the Chachma of Yitzhak. What's the Chachma of Yitzhak? That he knew Lamaisa that okay, every kid be'etzem wants to run around for Tavius and Gashmis. Some might want to run so much that they're totally in it. That was Esav. Yitzchak knew whatever this means. Yitzchak knew that if he tried to take a too much of a hard line mahalach with him, he'd lose him completely. So therefore, he made it as if he didn't know, hoping that one day Esav would be able to come back on his own. Because if he does know, if he would chap that he does know, then Avada, he's gonna go away. Yaakov said, there's a Sefri that Yaakov says to Reuven, that the reason I didn't give you Musar all the years until now when I'm dying, down of Vayechi, is because I was scared you would go to Esav. Tachacha from Yaakov Avinu, boom. Goodbye to Esav. So Mela, a similar thing that Yitzhak was worried, and that's perhaps why this is the way he dealt with him. Mentioned another Mahalach, now jumping ahead again, because I don't know exactly where we're going to get to in the Parsha, but Shom Shechter says that the way he teaches Rivka and Esav, he also says, what does it say? What does it say by the, when Yitzhak finally chaps, what happened with the brachas? Yitzchak got scared, extremely scared, very big, extremely, extremely large. Good. Chazal say Gehenim opened up, but what's going on? Where do you find Tzolosh Shalashon in the Torah? Avshalom Shachter says that Yitzchak held that someone for Torah has to be totally Shakoa in Torah. And that's Yaakov. Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Aholim. He has to learn and know nothing but learning. How is Yaakov going to be supported? Well, the Gemara Bracha says, according to Rav Shimon bar Yochai, that if you're sitting learning all day, Malach Tanasis Hayidei Acherim, the guy will do your work. Yitzchak wanted that instead of a guy, he wanted that Esav should participate in this. I mean, if I cared, Esav's not negated, so this would be Esav's way in being Zoicha. Whatever it is as far as that, but he wanted that the Balabas should be within, what's it called? There should be a Balabas Mimuna just on the money, and Yaakov Mimuna just on the Torah. I want to make a Yisachar Zvulun out of Yaakov and Esav. Rivka knew that you can only make a Yisachar Zvulun coming out of pure Torah, coming out of a Yaakov who built pure Torah, and even the Zvulun is be'etzim pure Torah. He's pure Torah through the money, but whether it's with the Daf Yomi Shir, the this year, the little bit that he knows, a little bit of Torah that he listens to, it has to be there's some Shaykhs to the Torah. So that's why Rivka twanged the whole thing in order to get it that no, it's got to be all through Yaakov Avinu. Yeah, Tamimistika Yaakov will figure out how to get the gelt. It's not going to be through Esav. When Yitzchak chapped what happened, he obviously chapped, there was all Menashe Shemayim, and he realized all of a sudden it hit him, the danger, how for thousands of years he would have messed up Klal Yisrael, that there would have been a Torah Dikka Klal Yisrael and a Money Dikka Klal Yisrael and would not have worked. That's why it hit him with such pachad that whether Gehenna really opened or not, but Ke'ilu, that he, as if he would have really messed up the world. That's pshat with that, perhaps, Shalom Shachter says. Okay. Famous question, why did Yaakov want to go out if Lamaisa he's sitting learning with a Malach right now? He's learning with a Malach. Why does he want to go with that? I mean, shame and aver, it's very chashuv. Why does he want to go out? So they say, Reb Chaim Brisker says, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik says that it's better not to be with a Rasha, even in Torah, even if you're sitting in the Beis Medrash, and therefore better to run out to the regular Beis Medrash than sitting in a room learning with a Malach with Esav. Fine. Okay, very interesting shtickle. Maybe you remember this from last year. The Torah Aruch says that Esav's hairs were extremely long and bothersome and pokey to Yaakov, and therefore he wanted to go out. Now, were Yaakov and Esav identical? Seemingly not, right? Yaakov is what's called Ishtam, as Ishchalak, like he says later on in the parasha, extremely smooth, and Esav is Ish Sawyer, right? We know he's like an Ossi, he was like a made-up guy already. So very nice. But then what does that mean? Then that means that their pashtas, we know, generally people say that identical twins are in one sack. And what's called non-identical, what's the terminology, whatever it is, fraternal twins, whatever it is, they're in two separate sacks. So how is the hair poking? Not only that, what's going on? It says that Yaakov and Esav were holding, it says Yaakov was holding Esav's heel. So how could it be that they were what's it called? That if they were in separate sacks, and Stam was like, how could that be? Now, you wonder, you'll say, well, what do you mean? What's the big deal? Don't the sacks open up already? Devin Ezra says that it apparently, I don't know when it changed, but that there laid there was a plea that generally the sack stays on all the way until it comes out. It could be Mishnais and Gemara some before like this also. That bets him the sack would come out and then they would open up and find out what they find the baby inside. Could be the Gemara and Mishnais some before like that. But he says, so this was a plea that the sacks opened up inside already and Yaakov sitting there holding the heel of Esav. And Mami says that's a plea to Gazach how that happened. So I'll ask that question. Of how could he have been holding the heel, so that doesn't make a difference whether one or two based on that. I'll upon him that Rabbi Yitzchak Kairoi says that there were two shilyas, but even so, the hair was so long that was poking through, and Mela, he still wanted to go out. There's a Megadim Chadashim that brings down that, very interestingly, no, they were mamish identical. What happens with the Midrashim of Esav and all the Parsha projects? But he says, what's Pshat HaKolko Yaakov Yidayim Yidei Esav? He said, just Pshat is in the way of speech. Like, we do know that the Rastamas Rashi says that this is not how Esav talks. Esav doesn't talk like this. He says, no, come on, very gruff. But otherwise, the Be'etzim were exactly the same.
That's only called Yaakov.
Yidayim Yidei Esav. He's a Nas Loshen, I guess. But I guess maybe that he was so expert in getting the hunting and getting the hunting done already. Maybe. Agav the Bava Rebbe says what's called Shlema. He says that what's called Koko Yaakov Yidayim Yidei Esav. He says this is the alarm clock. Koko Yaakov is the alarm clock ringing. Yidayim Yidei Esav is smacking down, hitting the snooze button. Okay.
Who said they were identical?
What?
Who says they were identical?
Who says they were identical? The Megadim Chadash and brings from the Ur HaOlam Al Tera. Yeah.
He's
a Talmud of the Ramchal. I'm saying it's not like someone making it up today.
Well,
Agav, Agav. I don't see it right here on my paper now, but I remember seeing. We'll find it in a second. That Fakert. Why was he called Esav? Right? Okay, now it's identical, but he was called Esav right away because he was Asli. And then eventually, when Yaakov became now Yaakov's also Mavugar, then he became called Edling. Good. We see that the Torah calls him Esav afterwards, but in other words, in terminology of asking, why is Yaakov not finished now? No. I'm not going with the identical shtick. I'm just saying Stamazai. Out the what's it called? That Esav Asli. So Esav wasn't Asli. He was made right away. Fine. It was like he's done. Yaakov eventually reached that stage, means bar mitzvah or whatever it is. So you know, that's when they say. I mean, talking the story. That's when he's called Edling. Fine. Okay, Agav, what's it called? Yeah, it's a famous Scranton Shmuz. I heard my ninth grade Rebbe. It's the time of Scranton. Scranton, they say it with one cereal. My yeshiva, the cereal was cornflakes, so they said it with the cornflakes. Akapana, but what's going on here? Yeah, Esav comes running in, and he says he wants the lentils, and Mimela, Zok the Torah, that what's called, that's why we're calling him Edan, right? Right, I can't crush my Edan. I mean, what's good? Because you say pass the cornflakes, that's it. Then Mimela, what's good? That's what you're called for life. So what's it called? I don't know, it says Rav Chaim Schneiman or Rav Brestel. I don't know which of the Rosh Yeshiva said over there. Al Kaponim, that if Esav's running in, right? We know, you know, he's running in. He did all five averes that day. He's running in. What's called, could be Nimrod was chasing him because he had killed and gotten the clothes. He's running for his life, and he comes in, and all he is capable of seeing in front of most of us. Yeah, you know what just happened? Please save me, something, whatever. Maybe a Baruch Hashem will finally escape his mouth. No. All he sees is that lentils? Is that lentils? I mean, whatever. They probably give that some letters today with the, you know, whatever, yeah, deciding what the kid is or whatever. But that's your essence. That's who, if that's what's coming out now, that's mean that's really who you are. So that's why you became called Adam. Yeah, noch the lentils, noch the food. You're running for your life. That's all you're able to see. That's who you are. That touches up your essence. That touches up your essence. Fine. We know. Okay, let's go find before that. What's called the one liner from what's called Shom Shatron says, hey, Rivka goes to find out what's going on. So he find out Shnei Goyim Bevitneicha. One kid running to Tyre, one kid running to Avodah Zarah. Wow, beautiful. Now she's happy. Why is she happy now? Why is she happy? Said Shom Shatron, because till now she thought that it's one kid who's mixed up, like Klal Yisrael, that Eliyahu tells him, why are you running back and forth, jumping back and forth? Do you serve Hashem or do you serve Avodah Zarah? Right? But once she finds out that she has two separate kids, okay, Baruch Hashem for the tzaddik. Out to Russia? Never. Hopefully he'll come around one day. But at least I don't have one mixed up. So we know she went Lidrish Hashem. Who's Lidrish Hashem? So the Radak, Ibn Ezra, Chizkuni say she went to Avram. Rashi says she went to Shem. Why would she go to Shem? Why wouldn't she go to Avram? I'm saying, you know, when Yazid is Chvesis is you know, Chaim Kanievsky, Rabbi Yashiv, why would you, I don't know, why would you go to Shlomo Zalman? Right? So first of all, she had pain in her pregnancy, so she didn't want to give tsar to the Zedas of Ram and Yitzchak, who was the father and the Zeda, so that they shouldn't be sitting in tsar. And Mela, she went to impartial person, she went to shame. The Ger Aryeh says that the klal of Chava to have pain during pregnancy is not by righteous women. And therefore, she didn't want Avram and Yitzchak thinking that she's not a righteous person, especially that she's got a history behind her of where she comes from. So the Mela, that's why she went to shame. What? The Ger Aryeh says that. Okay, another answer is probably what you were saying, what's called that Rivka was a tznu and she doesn't want to go tell her husband and her shver. What's called she doesn't want to discuss with them. Some say that the save of Toiv of Avram was happening now, and again, almost similar to what we were saying before. I'm sorry, that before was just that she's in Tsar. But if she's going to go to Avram, and Avram would get the Nevuah that, oh, Baruch Hashem, I have Enikol, that's a Russia, that would ruin the good life that Avram is supposed to live out at the end, and that's why Esav didn't go off the Derech. We'll get to that in a second, until Avram was Nifter. So that would have messed that up, so that's why she did not go to Avram. Okay, Agav, there's a whole shmuz, how many yeshiva shem and aver are. There are some mashmuz, some places it says yeshiva shem, some places it says yeshiva aver, some places it says yeshiva shem aver. Why wouldn't you go to the gadol adar shem always? There it is, because there's what to get from everyone. You know, you have to know when to leave this yeshiva, go to that yeshiva. So go to Mashaliva Chafetz. So I went to Shem, went to learn from Shem, and learned to Aver to get Chap, whatever can. Yitzchak had yeshiva also. Yitzchak Avinu Zochkin, Yeshiva Yeshiva, the Gemara says in Yuma. And then the Mepharshim one, it could be Yitzchak had yeshiva. And not only that, it was three yeshivas in Be'er Sheva, possibly, to make the Cheshbainus. It's possibly three yeshivas in Be'er Sheva. Yeah, we got six shuls right here. Now five on 10th Avenue. So you had three yeshivas right there on the by the four corners. But what's called, okay, everyone has their shnid and their what's called of how they give over the Torah, whatever.
After Shem Day.
What?
The yeshiva's Aver is only after Shem Day.
Good, right, exactly. Could be here when they open then, yeah.
Who are the three?
What?
Who are the three?
What do you mean? No, I'm saying, you know, there was Shem, Aver, and Yitzchak.
Shem, Aver, I thought was filed by
Yerushalayim. Oh, so that's what they asked. L'chayra wasn't Shem's yeshiva in Yerushalayim. And not only that, it says Yitzchak learned there after the Akeda, because if it was in Be'er, why wouldn't he have gone back with Avram, and why wasn't he by the Levaya? The Turi Evan says... One second. No, yep, yeah, no. No. They whatever. Not necessarily Geshmak Tarsa. I'm saying Geshmak Tarsa in a Chram. Yeah, that's a good point. I want to say something over from the Zaydi. Yitzchak Zonnefeld. He says that, right? It says that Yitzchak and Rivka davened. Rashi says that Vayetar is a lashon of Hirba Vihifzer. Mamish, he pushed and plumped and Mamish pushed for the tefillah. So, for Rabbi Yitzchak Zonnefeld, why do you need that? Why you don't necessarily find by Avraham and Sarah. Good, it says they davened all the years, but you don't find necessarily such a lashon like that by Avraham and Sarah. So, he says that Avram needed, chronologically, Avram needed to die before Esav goes off. Right? Because like we said, the Seva Toiv of Avram. Avram has to live out good years. He can't have that his Einikol ends up going off in his lifetime. And since Yitzchak pushed, Hirba V'Hiftzir, now Hashem had to take Avram's life 5 years early. Really, Avram should have lived to 180. But Hashem had to move it up to 175. Why? Because of Yitzchak. Because Yitzchak pushed and said, no, but I want the kids now. So good. Esav's going to go off at, 13 or 15. You have to know which. Could be Betzina. He went off at 13 and only then 15. He did it for Hesi right after Avram died. But the point is, that's going to happen. That's not going to wait until he's 20 years old. So Mimela, That's why you need a Hirba V'Hiftzer to make that happen, to change around. Yeah, the Yoitzra Sheshmei Bereshis. And Rabbi Yitzchak said, he was very into Gematrius, and he said that Chamesh Shanim is Gematria 748, and Vayeyasr LeHashem is also the Gematria 748. And Aaron Cutler said, this was said Baruch HaKadosh. He said this on Rizkin Heimfeld's shtickle. Yeah. Not like that, Rabbeinu, playing on this what's called of the chronological, the Rabbeinu Bachai says that Rivka Gufa was barren for all those years in order to try to push it off as long as possible. I mean, it takes a lot of things into account, what Hashem was trying to do so we could have Avram Avinu around.
Well, they could just go have a girl or something.
What?
Why can't you just have a girl or somebody else?
The Torah Mar says Rivka Heves is Yaakov. Why? Because Yaakov was an easy birth by her. Mashenkin Esav had hair, he had nails, and it was extremely hard for her, and it was extremely hard pregnancy for her. Stamazai, I think it says, what's it called? That Rashi says, whatever, the Gemara says, that Medrash says that Esav tried to kill Rivka when on his way out, whatever that means. I guess there would have been a way that he could have ripped the womb open in a way that she would have had bleeding. That would have
wanted to make sure no more kids.
Yeah, well, wanted to make sure. Some say that there's no more kids, but also I think there's a law that they want to kill her. Exactly.
Well,
so what?
Well, that's why.
No, so that's why the love was more for Yaakov than for Esav. To end off the Be'eris, right, in the middle of the Parsha, right, the beginning and end of the Parsha, Yaakov and Esav, but in the middle of the Parsha, it talks about Yitzchak, Patavi Melech, and the Be'eris, everything, it seems almost to be like, you know, let's go, the fad was, you know, go dig a well. Oh, something good happens to us, Yitzchak, let's dig wells. What Rabbi Yerucham says, these wells were extremely, extremely tamun and ruchnius. It's not just Stam that he's redigging Avram's wells and giving them the same names. Ramban says that they refer to the three Beis Hamikdashes, and that's why the last one lasted. Like by Shlishi is going to last. They're very, very, very high. You say just coming to these things. You don't look at them. Oh, Stam. Okay, good thing happened. Let's dig a well. Well, it wasn't Stam. Go get a burger. But Agav, the Chofetz Chaim says, very interesting that we see, right? We see Lamaisa, Yitzchak had a lot of problems with the Plishtim. What's it called? He does it. They go fill it up. It gets Titzach over there. What's going on? Chofetz Chaim says that you see in life, Sayin Ruchni, Sayin Gashmias, try, and try again. Keep going. That's what you see from Yitzchak over here. Again, aside from the physical aspect of the wells, and especially we're saying the Ruchnis aspect, that's why you see both aspects. Something doesn't work, try again, and eventually it will go. And there was someone who tainad that is probably saying, you can probably guess this from the Kavanah of the Chofetz Chaim, that Amol, you'll have people who might say that, once, twice, didn't work. Okay, maybe it's a Simon HaShemayim that I shouldn't do this. Move to another line of work. Move to another Mezechta. Stop the shir. Stop learning. I don't know. What? No, again, I think you see, I think it's common what's going on in the Chafetz Chaim. What he's trying to say is that you have to know. Sometimes, yes, you need Rebbe. Do you need Rebbe to tell you what, yeah, what not? But you see, I'll come on from the Chaim that there's sometimes a mahalach. No, to keep going. Hashem has his cheshbonus of wine. There's a ma'aseh with the brisker of could be this. I don't know if they say with Rebbe Kamenetsky necessarily. I think they say Kapon with the mice with the brisker of Chasson standing by the Kala, trying to put on the ring by the Kedushin. He drops it once, drops it again. I think it was three times or something like that. Finally, people are like, you know, by Chasson, everything's totally in the Segulas Minhagim, whatever. And everyone's like, ooh, maybe it's not Mishmai, whatever. Brisker of said, no, go on. Went on and went on the finger. And it's like, oh, no. That wasn't the Shatov Mitzlachas 5 seconds ago. Now it's the Shatov Mitzlachas. Hashem is everything that could have what to do with what we're saying before, with Rivka being barren. Oh, he's such a Nebuch, the Ovis and the Mice. No! Hashem is trying to keep Avram alive longer. That's what you see from all these things. A lot of things. Taman in it. Kapon, we always need a Rebbe to tell us. A Guten Shabbos.